What's up, everyone? This episode of the Smoking Tire Podcast is brought to you by StockX. StockX is the world's first online stock market of things for high-demand consumer products, including sneakers, watches, and handbags. StockX connects buyers and sellers using the same methodology as the world's stock markets, an anonymous live bid-ask market. All products are physically authenticated by StockX, allowing participants to focus on the transparency of data available, including real-time market pricing. That means no stressing about shady buyers and sellers, no lengthy descriptions, and no blurry pictures to decipher. All watches are in excellent or better condition. All you have to worry about is finding the watch you want and placing a bid you feel comfortable with. Stay tuned, because later today, on my Instagram, I will be giving out the prize by StockX of an Autodromo Group B Evolucione watch. It's a really neat kind of automotive-inspired watch that is actually sold out. This is pretty much the last place to get it. Head over to my Instagram right now to get in on that before it closes, or visit StockX.com/smoking to check out StockX today. We are also brought to you by Continental Belts and Hoses. Listen, belts aren't really something you think about in your car. Hoses aren't really something you think about in your car. But these things rot, they dry out, they crack, and when they do, they can cause really big problems. Continental Belts and Hoses are OE in tens of millions of Chrysler, Dodge, Ford, and GM vehicles that roll off the assembly line. They're also original equipment on the majority of BMWs and Volkswagens. Now, Continental is launching the aftermarket Multi-V belt with the OE pedigree. It's their OE technology series. Belts that are fanatically engineered for perfect fit, form, and function. And Continental has an OE technology series Multi-V belt for 98% of the vehicles on the road in the US and Canada. Hey, you get enough surprises working on cars and trucks, a belt shouldn't be one of them. Go with the Continental OE Technology Series Multi-V belt, the belt with the OE pedigree. To get the full story, visit oetechnologyseries.com. All right, on this episode of the show, we are being paid a visit by Mr. Noah Alexander of Classic Car Studio out of Missouri. He may be better known as one of the hosts of Speed is the New Black on Velocity. These guys have a really cool shop. They do some really interesting projects, crazy attention to detail. And on this episode, I'm going to take you through some of his builds in great detail, including a really, really beautiful Porsche and a really amazing Nomad. This is a pretty cool one. I'm about this guy very much. Noah Alexander of Classic Car Studio. It's the Smoking Tire Podcast.
We are streaming, and hello, folks. What's happening? It's just me today. Just me and Mr. Noah Alexander of Classic Car Studio, St. Louis, Missouri. St. Welcome, Louis. Sir.
Thanks for having me.
Get that. You gotta like practically eat this fucking
thing. I'm gonna eat this.
I know you do.
I'm feeling hungry. I like it.
You're hungry for microphone?
For some foam in my mouth.
The microphone smells like a beer.
It smells fun. I don't know what I haven't figured out what it smells like exactly, but I'm
I think it smells delightful.
It smells delightful.
It smells delightful. Welcome to the show, everybody. Follow my ass on Instagram. It's the Smoking Tire. Noah's Classic underscore Car underscore Studio on Instagram. And of course, classiccarstudio.com and on Facebook. Noah, the way the show works is I can like pull shit up on the internet and it goes
look
into
at
the show.
All right.
But, you know, the one thing I kind of can't do is play YouTube videos.
So, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
For those of you enjoying this with us live on YouTube, thank you for being here. Get into the super chat. We've got questions. If you got questions for Noah on Velocity, the show is called Speed is the New Black.
That it is.
It's also the old black. I mean, speed and black really go together.
They do.
Well.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
What's the story, man? Hello, welcome to
the
studio.
Thank you for having me.
Are you a Los Angeles regular, or do you not come out here too much?
I am a St. Louis regular.
Uh-huh.
And I come to Los Angeles occasionally.
So. Is it getting like real cold in St. Louis now?
It's starting to rain a lot. It's real depressing, cloudy, and I come here and it's the same every day, which is nice and sunny.
You know, some people have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Not me.
I don't know who those people are.
Not me. No, people who live here once in a while, they go, I miss weather.
Oh, yeah. You know, I wish like I had a season. Yeah, I wish I miss the seasons. No,
I mean,
you
we have a season, summer. Right. Yes. That's all we've got. You grew up in St. Louis?
I did. I lived there since like 1993. So
nice.
After a brief stint in the Chicagoland area.
Mm-hmm. So what's Classic Car Studio about?
So initially we started Classic Car Studio, I think, almost 13 years ago. We bought and sold the cars we loved, mm-hmm. stuff we liked as kids. A lot of air-cooled 911s, just old classic Mercedes, stuff
oh,
I kind of grew up with.
I've poked through your website here in your
looks
current
like,
inventory.
It doesn't look like that's what we really...
It does not look like you specialize in European. I see a lot of pro touring style cars. I see some resto mods. Couple little Europeans thrown in. There's a little 911 turbo in here. What the fuck is an M151A2 Wolverine?
That's a crazy military vehicle with a custom body on it,
bro.
In case
tell
you
me.
Wanna, yeah, it's
so you're yeah. like a you're a dealer, but also a tuner and a restorer.
We originally started off just buying and selling the cars we loved, and then 2008 came along, and all of a sudden, no one was buying classic cars. The economy was
shit.
The economy was shit. And we were kind of scared. Luckily, we were young and still ready to keep hacking away at it. So we started doing, we had a full team of mechanics that worked on the cars we were selling. And
folks you got working over
there? We have 20 now.
Okay.
Yeah, we do everything in-house, paint, body, interior, all the fabrication work. It's cool. We spray all BASF. We try to do it all in-house. Uh-huh. We don't build engines in-house. We don't do transmissions, but we pretty much... do everything else. So
that's cool.
It's good.
So you started just as a dealer.
We started
a dealer
as a dealer
for interesting cars.
For interesting cars, yeah. Stuff we liked, stuff we were into. And from there, went into full-on restoration projects. And every year they get crazier and crazier. And we've got an amazing group of clients that are willing to pretty much take on all these wild projects, kind of their dream cars.
Do you have customers who bring you an idea, or do you have customers who let you run a little wild? What's the typical customer for your place?
The typical customer is the customer that brings us the idea.
Oh.
The perfect
and
customer
the
and the money. Yeah. The perfect customer is the one who just lets us run wild. So
yeah.
And I think we're kind of approaching that point with a lot of customers where, they see proof of concept. They see what we've done before.
Mm.
They say, you know what, guys? We like what you're doing.
Build me a Camaro.
Build me a Camaro.
It red, but have fun.
You just do whatever you want. And then from there, it's kind of, we want to figure out how they're going to use the vehicles.
Mm.
Do you want to drive it a lot? Do you want to take it to car shows? Do you want to go do autocross? What do you want to do? Because our deal is, we want to build very high quality cars, but most importantly, got to go drive the cars, people. Don't let them sit in your garage.
Anytime I let a car sit, it is a problem.
They're worse.
Becomes a real problem.
Yep.
And whenever I drive a car, it's fucked. It's such a fucked thing because you want a low mile car. It seems like a good idea.
Right.
But then I go drive one that's like high miles, and I don't like how the leather's worn in, and maybe the carpet's stained and it's cracked. But then it runs awesome.
They run great.
They run good. I just drove like an 80,000-mile Ferrari 360 Challenge Stradale.
There you go.
Daily driver for the guys the last 8 years.
Right.
This guy, he beats the fuck out of this car. He doesn't give a shit. The bumpers are all cracked up. The paint, you ever see a car that's been left out in Florida where the paint is toasted off?
Right.
The clear coat's gone.
It's gone.
The top half of the car, it's toasted right off.
But you know what? I bet he loves driving that car.
Dude, it's
rad. He enjoys it.
I drove it. It's fucking rad. It sounds awesome. The motor is so worn in. Nicely, high mile Ferrari engine's a really good engine. It is.
Is it? Is it really?
I'm not fucking around. No, a high mileage Ferrari engine is going to be a
good
really
engine.
Good engine.
And, and reliable.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Ferrari engines, there are certain things about Ferraris that can be a little fragile. Each model has its own little nuance.
Mostly interior parts.
The sticky interior parts for sure is one. The 430s, tail lights tended to fall out. The 360s, the plastics weren't great. The engines themselves are pretty stout. They tend to, if you service them and you drive them, they tend to work good.
Good to go.
Yeah, I'm a fan. But yeah, the high mileage stuff is great.
It's enjoyable. I like something you can, high performance, high mileage stuff, something you can hop in and drive anywhere you want and have a really good time along the way.
Yeah.
And just park in the parking lot and say, fuck it.
Yeah.
I don't I don't really care what happens to it, but I'm going to enjoy driving it when I get back into it.
Yeah, and hit the road. Road, you know, if you freak out about every little thing, it's going to be a very frustrating resistance. You know what I mean? You almost want to paint the thing and then like put a rock chip or two in it like the first day.
Right, just get over it.
I know, you know a guy named Mike Musto? I work with him, sure. You know, big muscle car guy. Whenever he buys a new car, he goes down to like the sort of underside of the bumper or something and keys it. Like
right.
He'll make like a 2-inch little key.
Just to get over it.
Just to be like, well, now it's fucked. Right. So now I can just drive it.
Now I can have
a, it's a good, it's a good attitude. Right. So you started doing this in when?
2006.
Okay. And now we're 12 years in.
12 years in. We've been through a crappy economic turndown.
Right.
And we've kind of come back. So we've got an awesome team of guys, and we build, you know, just crazy cars. It's highly enjoyable.
How bad did it get in 08 and 09?
It was a horrible.
Really?
Yeah. We had a line of credit through a bank. They called, you know, our banker called us one day and say, hey guys, I know you're doing pretty well. You've always done, you know, done great with us, but you know, our bank's been sold to another bank. And they're gonna call your line of credit. So we had to sell. We went out and we sold $2 million with the cars in about a month and a half, which was our best month ever. And
it was
under the pressure, we performed very well.
Yeah.
But then we had a pretty good sized building, and we had no way to make any money at all.
Yeah.
So
customers just gone.
Just gone. It just slowed down. So and
so
before
what did
that,
you do?
We started working on other people's cars, which is the thing we said. You know what? Let's just not work on other people's cars. We'll just, you know, this buying and selling cars is going great. We drive them. We enjoy them. We're having a good time. You know, business is good. And then all of a sudden it wasn't. So in a move of absolute desperation, we created kind of what Classic Car Studio is now.
Were you sitting on a deep inventory of cars when shit hit the fan?
Yeah, it was a deep inventory of cars that hit a steep depreciation curve all of a sudden.
Yeah, you probably paid at what seems like a premium now, right?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Expecting to sell them for even more.
Yeah, we thought we were going to do really well, and then all of a sudden it just stopped. And then we had to sell them all, you know, very quickly.
Gee,
so we paid off the bank, and we started. We had a couple great customers that came to the door. They wanted to build a couple of pro touring cars, and we said, yeah, sure, we can do that for you. And they kind of took a flyer on us, and
The skills don't go out the window just because you're hurting financially.
So from there, you know, we built those cars, and that was kind of like the seed for, you know, all the kick-ass builds we've done since then. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I'm anytime I hear about someone, you know, weathering that storm, it's always am interested to see how they did it. I at one point I had my first job doing this, you
right.
know, not podcasting, but making videos.
Right.
And, you know, I got the company I was working for. I didn't own my own gig, and they got sold off to Google like cheap, like real cheap.
Right.
And I just got, you know, cast into the street, basically.
Exactly.
So I kind of picked up and this was in New York, and I picked up and came out here and started the Smoking Tire, which has worked out well. But it was
great.
A slog. I mean, 09 and the first half of 10 were really, really brutal.
They were not pretty. So.
No. It wasn't until mid-11 that I had like anything resembling a career.
Right.
That was
kind of the same. Yeah, I would say most of the existence at our company, you know, was tough.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And then, you know, I always say all the stuff that runs really well and looks really easy, a lot of work went into making it go that way.
Yeah,
it's not,
yeah.
You know, you kind of work at places like that. And you're like, oh, this is easy. This place runs so well. And
yeah,
it's because they went through some crappy times in between and, you know, kind of hung in there. So we hang in there is what we do. We keep pushing forward.
It's very.
There's no other choice.
Yeah, and I mean now it seems like you're doing pretty well.
Yeah, it's great.
Economy's pretty good. People are spending money on shit.
We've got the economy's great. People are spending money. We've got a lot of cool bills we're sitting on. Mm. So,
what are you building right now?
We've had the success of the show.
Tell me about the show.
The show's been great. So a couple of years ago, we were approached by a few guys, and they said, "Do you want to? You know, what do you think about doing a car show?" I said, "I don't know." I wasn't sure if that was a good idea or not, but I'll try anything once. So
the show is called Speed is the New Black on Discovery. Give us, you know, I'm on Discovery. Jesus, I'm sorry. Velocity. Excuse me. We just had Heather Storm on here, who's also a Velocity person.
Yeah.
So give me the synopsis of the show. Is it just is it a reality show?
It's
about
it's a build show. And I think one of the best things about the show is it really focuses on, you know, I think you can come in and it's entertaining. But, you know, a lot of the great feedback we get is like, people feel like they learned something. So we want to show you how we do certain processes and but keep it fun and exciting. So also at the end of every show, we get out and really beat the crap out of every car and drive
it.
It's important because
you need to have action in a car show. You just need, it's just a mandatory. You can't have a car show without some kind of action.
You got to have action, and people are, you know, a lot of the car shows, people said, oh, those cars, you know, they kind of had the reputation of the cars not actually being able to drive. They're like, it's built for TV. But, you know, we say, look, we've got real clients here and we're going to drive these cars anyway. So let's just go do it on TV. So,
but you do have to admit that's a well-earned reputation. I mean, it's not, that didn't just come out of nowhere. And I'm not talking about your shop.
Exactly.
But,
yeah.
But we've got decades of
decades.
Fucking garbage being built for television.
Yeah.
I know. I've seen them cars.
Right.
I've had producers utterly lie to me about what's been done to cars.
Yeah, yeah.
I love seeing a Pimp My Ride car pop up on Craigslist. It's just all sad.
Just sad.
Looking
just so
real sad. Yeah. I feel like every Pimp My Ride car has been like carjacked two or three times, right? It's like the most likely car to get carjacked.
Right. They steal the fish tank and the PlayStation.
Why do we always go to the aquarium? I think the aquarium.
What, did they have an aquarium in every single car?
At least one car had an aquarium. The problem is, like, you'll kill the fish. You cannot drive a car with fish in it.
This is not, I don't know what.
We'll literally kill them.
There was never any disclaimer, like, these animals were not harmed or anything like that. They just, exhibit just came out and is like, you know.
No, these animals were
harmed. You said you like, yeah, you like, you like aquariums and you like PlayStations. So we put a PlayStation inside an aquarium in the back of a Civic.
Dude,
that show was lovable. Of all the, like, you know,
it was lovable. It was silliness.
People always talk to me about that show. Usually, like older women, they're like, "Do you watch Pimp My Rides?" I love that show.
What exactly did old women love about Pimp My Ride?
I have no idea. The show is lovable.
I mean,
it's
that
bullshit
was,
and it's fake. But for some, there's something about it that, like,
it
I don't
was
know.
One of the. Was it one of the first shows to do a really big reveal? You know, a really big car reveal at the end.
So it was early. You know, well, you know, would that have been like 2000? Or 2001 or
old. Yeah, when did Pimp My Ride? You know, it was
2004?
2004 to 2007.
It seemed like it, I would have guessed that it ran for 15 years or something.
It really seemed like it. I think they made a shitload of episodes. It seemed like it's six seasons. So even though it's 3 years, it's only six seasons. I think it was a really feel good show.
Yeah.
Because they did pick people that it was like, I got to drive my grandma to her nursing home every day.
Right.
You know, and here she is in a Civic with Lambo doors.
Right. So we gave you, And they go through all the guys in the shop and they all contributed.
Just so
the
crazy.
The interior guy, yeah.
Yeah, just so crazy. Oh, interior guy was, oh shit. Oh, they're going to, oh, his name started with an
I think it was Ish. It was just Ish.
Yeah.
That's right.
One of the other guys from that show.
Ish, so much you did. You like PlayStation and you like equipment. Yeah.
Yeah. No, one of those guys, Mad Mike. Remember, you know Mad Mike? He was one of the dudes and he worked on one of my cars. He works at Galpin now.
Right.
Yeah. So I like Mad Mike. Shout out to Mad Mike. He was great.
Thanks, Mad Mike, for the memories. They're warm, fuzzy memories of Pimp My Ride. I don't know. Like I said,
I enjoyed watching it.
It's
I
not
it
like
dumb,
it's high quality,
and silly,
but
and
yeah,
fun.
Right.
Like honestly, like I've watched, you know, a lot of overhauling and kind of shows where they build, you know, nice but, you know, sort of normal builds. And as an entertainment value, I don't want to drive the fucking thing around, but as a half hour of my entertainment, I think I might rather watch Mad Mike shove a fucking fish tank into a Civic.
It's entertaining.
You know, than a blown LS
into
a Chevelle.
It was just good, cheap fun.
Oh, yeah. It was absolutely, like, just mind-numb, you know, kind of fun. I liked it for that reason.
And then car shows got very serious, but the cars didn't run, so we're slightly serious, and the cars work.
Yeah. What's your time frame for a television build? Do you do that? You don't do the customer need to buy Thursday.
No, we've tried to avoid. So the pitfalls we've tried to avoid and I think have successfully navigated around are we don't throw wrenches at each other. Mm. There's been no fist fighting. Nobody's cried.
The producers must be very disappointed in all of this.
They're not, and you
but
know,
dude,
we're not.
Noah, just a fucking
tell
what,
us about.
What
Noah.
If I get you like a plastic wrench and we paint it so it's like real? Will you huck it?
Just go knock something over, will you? Yeah.
You know, if I put this here, will you break it?
What do you think? How does that make you feel? Yeah. How can we get Noah angry? So we've gone around that, and you know, we've showed, you know, basically start to finish.
Yeah.
You know how we build the cars, and it's created a lot of, you know, good feedback and quality ratings. So.
Yeah. What level of builds would you say that you typically do? Like, is it the $500,000, no expenses spared, real crazy, or is it the mild pro touring, or what do your customers like?
So one of the things about the show is we kind of cover, I don't know, everything. So we've got some crazy over the top builds that are $500,000. And
is there an example on your website of
that?
What's
build
this Nomad thing?
That was not on the show, but the Nomad is.
Okay, hang on. Oh, wow. Look at this fucker thing.
We built this. This is the Gone Mad. Gone Mad Nomad.
That's a good name. What color is it?
It's like a crazy Glazeret. It's very close to a
Glazeret.
Glazeret.
What's paint? That?
We spray Glazeret paint. So
is that a brand?
Yeah, BASF brand. Oh, okay.
Sorry, I'm not in the body shop.
You're not. Yes, I'll stop with the body shop lingo.
No, it's okay. I just didn't know what it was.
So we built this thing 2 years ago, and it's totally nuts. I found an old shitter Nomad out in the desert.
Yeah.
In California, brought it back to St. Louis, and
color is crazy kiwi with truffle butter. Gold.
See, we put truffle butter in there, but no one ever, and it's been announced all over the place, but nobody ever asked what truffle butter was, which is good because I don't want to explain
what truffle butter is.
Nobody,
like the actual truffle butter, or what color is it?
Yeah.
I know what truffle butter is. It's delicious.
The Urban Dictionary.
does that mean? Oh, is it jizz?
It's a combination of bodily. Yeah, it's not good.
Oh,
yeah. But the truffle butter you're talking about is delicious.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, the kind you actually eat.
I was you could eat this kind, but you don't want to.
Right. Sheffaroff?
Sheffaroff.
Sheffaroff. Who's Sheffaroff?
They're a East Coast engine builder.
Uh-huh.
And it's actually a 509 based on a 409. So it's a W block.
Oh, wow.
Old school 409. It's all aluminum. And this guy puts out like well over 600 horsepower.
NA. Yeah.
NA.
Yeah.
And it's reliable.
Is that a drivable thing?
It is a drivable thing.
I guess at a 5, that's enough cubic inches that you don't have to run some nutty cam, right?
No.
You can probably run a fairly mild cam.
Yep. It's got really nice high end internals, but it runs pump. It's a pump gas motor built to drive and enjoy.
Oh,
you know, I mean, it's cool.
This build sheet doesn't have 13-inch 6-piston brakes, Wilwood. Okay,
it's good. It's got a Bowler transmission.
Oh wow, yeah. Bowler gearbox into a lot of stuff. What do you got for suspension in here?
It's a Roadster Shop chassis.
Oh, they know what they're doing.
It's a gorgeous chassis. So
full chassis build, right?
Full chassis.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's. If you go back up, I think click backwards, you might be able to see some.
Can scroll here.
There's some build. We've got build photos.
Look at that manifold. That's sexy.
So we
man.
Custom built that for SEMA. We were in the K&N booth at SEMA a couple years ago.
Uh-huh.
Look at the undercarriage. It's crazy.
Oh, that's mint, bro. Look at that.
All crazy.
I'll just scroll through like this.
There you go.
Wow, it's a flat under tray. Holy shit.
Yeah, it's got a nice little belly pan.
Does this thing like handle and go quick? Like, have you mopped on this thing?
Yeah, we've had it around the at a couple Good Guys shows. We took it around the autocross course.
These headers, that is a sexy set of headers and collectors, man. You make these?
Yeah, we made those.
Those are rad.
All the chassis is all body this color.
Whoa! I'll go back to that. Was that wood?
Yeah.
A wood headliner?
So that's all airbrushed.
That's not real wood. That's airbrushed.
Not real wood.
What's it airbrushed onto?
It's basically we took a mold of the top of the car,
uh-huh,
and we used that to make this one piece headliner.
Wow! And what's the headliner made of?
Fiberglass.
Wow! But that
it looks like wood. Oh, it looks exactly
in
like
person.
Wood.
Does it look exactly
it
like wood?
It looks
as
exactly
well?
Like wood. Yeah.
What would it have taken to make that out of wood? Like, would it even have been possible?
I don't think it would have had to been like a really thin veneer,
or you'd have to carve it from like a single block. Right?
It's carved from a single tree.
God damn, this is a serious build.
It's a serious build, and this took a couple years to do, and it just doesn't.
That wood or fake wood looks.
It's airbrushed.
Rad.
So this guy, his name's Wes, and he works at a local company that builds offshore racing boats, and he does all their paint work. And the guy can airbrush like a madman, and he comes in, he's got a little airbrush,
yeah,
and he sprays through the bristles on a normal paintbrush and creates wood grain, and if he fucks up, he just goes back and he'll be like, you know, if I screw up, man, let's go back. I'll make a little wood knot right there. See that? Yeah. All right, moving on.
And he sprays it through the bristles.
Everybody's got their own wood grain method. So
this picture here, where you've got the front fender off, and you can just see these chrome pulleys through there. radio. There's no radiator there, actually.
Not yet. It's on the way, though. So very, very cool build.
This car's hot. It says call for price. All right. Now you're here, though. What's the price?
Talk. So it was, well, can I? I think it's important to know. It was about $480,000 to build.
Yeah, I believe that.
Over 2 years, you know, on about $115,000 in just parts alone. And you can buy it now for the low, low price of $275,000.
Really?
Which is a good value.
I think that is a good value.
But it's going to take a very specific buyer because
it's a done custom car.
But
that's
done.
The thing with a done custom car, right?
It's hard to sell a done custom car.
It is.
If it's done, you know, the more custom it is, the harder it is to sell it.
I completely agree with you. Although, honestly, I think $275,000 for that is actually, considering the work we just looked at, is not bad.
It's a lot of money, but it's a lot of cars. So.
You know those guys, the Tuckers, Detroit Speed, North Carolina? Yeah. You know those guys?
Absolutely.
I went and drove a few of their cars.
Right.
That's what those things cost.
Yep.
And people pay it. Yep. I mean, people pay that shit. And I drove a car they built that was $1 million.
There you go.
It was a Charger that was $1 million to build.
So $1 million is now like the
new number.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I never thought that would... You know, every once in a while you'd hear, oh, that car was $1 million. Mm-hmm. But now there's a lot of custom cars that are $1 million and more.
Yeah.
Because that's what it takes. It's years of work.
Yeah.
It's the least efficient process.
And everything is one of one.
Yeah.
You're
building a prototype, essentially.
Yeah.
It's a little crazy.
And the Charger I drove, it was like, it had paddle shifters,
right?
You know, the whole dash is made of carbon fiber. They completely make a gauge cluster out of thin air. It's just so crazy.
You're essentially building a concept car
that works.
That works as well as
a production car.
And then you have to take it out and make all these parts that really don't want to get along that well nice.
Yeah.
Which takes a while as
it's
well.
It's so wild.
Yeah.
It's so wild. Do you have customers that go that level? That go the seven figures?
Not yet.
You will.
Yeah, I hope so. Sure. It'd be great. We'd certainly welcome a project like that. So
just do a little.
It's good, you know. And
do a little sales trip in Saudi. You'll be fine.
That's the demographic.
Let me ask you something. So that Nomad, and I mean some of these other. Is this C10? What you drove?
I drive that thing daily at the moment, which is cool. go to Speed Shop. You can see the Speed Shop.
Let's see what we have happening.
I think we've got some cool.
Whoa, look at that fucker. What is that truck? Tiffany.
Look at that.
66. Wait, come back, Tiffany. Oh, Where'd it go?
I don't know. We don't want to see those guys.
It went away.
Oh, no.
Oh, my hair.
You can go through these.
Black Betty.
Black Betty.
I think I've seen Black Betty before, right? Black Betty was
on the cover of, I think, Street Trucks magazine recently, or Classic Trucks. They're all blended together.
So
F-100, cool build, local customer.
So are you doing any builds on the European stuff, or is the European all restore, repair, stock, sell, and
if
then the
you
custom goes
click
crazy?
Through, we did a 964 Porsche, which was cool. I've been wanting to build one for a while.
Projects?
Let's go to TV show.
Oh, okay. TV show.
This is easy. I don't even have to think.
You don't have to think. I can just show you stuff.
Yeah, there we go.
Wow, here we go. All right. This looks fire. What are those wheels? Those are very nice. This 964 here.
This 964 is a fun build.
Tell me about this thing. It's got a dope little ducktail. I see a 993 bumper in the front, or a 993-esque bumper in the front, maybe?
Yeah, it's a 964 bumper. We've got the cup brake ducts in the front. One of my favorite things about this. Here we go.
Sorry,
yeah.
One of the things that always bothered me.
The 964 is kind of like the unloved Porsche for so long.
It was. And now they're fucking $80,000.
And now they're crazy. And I don't know how that. It was the Porsche. I was like, screw that. What did they do to that thing? But it's aged well because they cleaned up a lot of the goofy stuff on the eight. You know,
the 80s cars, the G body cars,
the goofy accordion bumpers. I mean,
I just had those removed off of mine. I'm doing a safari build.
Oh yeah,
with, Lee Keen down in Atlanta.
Yes.
You know Lee?
Oh yeah. I do not know him personally, but I know those builds.
I'm kind of a Porsche nut. I look at a lot of Porsches. You want to see Porsche? Here, I'm going to show you. Here's my car, and
there
that's my interior.
Ooh.
Look at that. That's LA City bus fabric.
Yes.
He just sent me the finished. Here's my braid wheels, and here's my.
Oh, there you go.
Look at that shit.
So when's it going to be finished?
Fire, about 3 weeks.
There you go.
And on the suggestion of a commenter, I'm actually doing this. The black Momo Prototipo wheel.
Right.
Which doesn't really match the rest of the tiers. Coming off, we're wrapping it in the matching Merlot leather, and we're doing the 12 o'clock stripe in the crazy.
There you go.
The crazy bus. So if you're,
it looks
if,
good.
The commenter that suggested that, I saw the comment, I went straight to Lee with it, and we are fucking doing it, brah!
Oh, that thing is awesome.
Badass, right?
And you're gonna go beat the shit out of it.
I'm gonna daily it. It's gonna be on my daily driver in LA. I'm very excited. Wait, back to your Porsche though. I'm sorry. So here we go. Here's your 964, which is smoothed out, sexified.
Right. So this was my car originally, but it was red, and I sold it to a customer, and he ended up doing this project, which is cool. So I kind of did a lot of things I've been wanting to do for a while, but it's got a really nice KW suspension. We kept the motor. You know, those motors, unless you go totally crazy with them, you're kind of like. There's not a whole. You either got to go wild, or put headers on it, and
we discuss this a lot. Porsche horsepower,
right?
Especially air cooled Porsche horsepower is the worst value for money on the planet.
You could spend $30,000 on that motor
starting at $30,000
and not get a whole lot more. It might. I don't know.
It just cost me $16,000 to get about 30 wheel horsepower.
Exactly.
And refresh a few items.
It's not a Fox Body Mustang. The horsepower is very, very expensive.
No, I drove something called a Gunther Works 400.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
I drove the Gunther Works. Yeah, I saw one at SEMA last year, and I've been.
It's fucking rad.
Oh, God. I can't even.
And it's got a bitchin' Roth Sport 4-liter in it.
Oh, man.
And the motor. So, all right. So here's the math, right? The math is so crazy. Okay. So if you start with a working engine. Okay, like a working 3.2,
right?
Or a working
good condition,
3.6.
Right?
Decent shape, right? If you want to make 250 wheel horsepower,
sure,
that's a $45,000 engine,
which is just so disappointing.
If you want to make 300 wheel horsepower, that's a $75,000 engine,
which is.
If you want to make 350 wheel horsepower. Is a $100,000 engine, and if you want to make 400 wheel horsepower, it's a $250,000 engine. To make it what you could pull a fucking LS out of a Camaro in a junkyard.
In a junkyard. Yeah. We could put headers and an intake on a 5.3 and we'd be like pretty much there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's obviously that you're not paying for the ultimate power number, you're paying for the feel of the, the flat six or whatever.
Right.
But the horsepower is not a good value for money.
No, it is not. They come very, very expensive.
Are the seats in yours out of a Mitsubishi Evo?
Those are Recaro's, brand new.
Oh,
hey,
man,
there it is.
That. There's where it started, huh?
There's what started. It was a great little car. And I drove it daily for about 2 years. And they're perfect.
It's a lovely little car.
There's just nothing, and it was the car I never, I always, the 964. But you know what? It ended up being a great little car. And I had some they called them the green springs. They were actually blue. The H&R green springs on it and a bigger sway bar. I used to have some cup wheels on it. It was perfect. It was lowered a little bit.
So
it did.
Nice, man. I bought my 87. That's now the safari car.
Right.
I bought it, drove it home, and dailied it for 2 months. And immediately, it was the most comfortable, most fuel efficient, most awesome car I had. And so I of course said, you know what? It needs a fucking 4-inch lift. BFG. BFG ATs. What color is that? Is it dolphin? It's not dolphin blue, is it?
That is like the closest color we could find to the original Penske.
Blue, that they used when it was blue and yellow. Yes.
So that was
beautiful color.
That was an old paint code we pulled out of the BASF Glazeret archives. And there you go.
How many hours do you think you guys had into this car?
1,500.
1,500.
Woof. So we stripped it all.
They go by quick.
They go by. We stripped it all down to bare metal and, kind of went for it.
Is this the double thick wrap on the Prototipo?
Yes,
it is, right?
It's the meaty wrap.
The meaty wrap.
The steering wheel comes off in case you want to take it into the bar or the coffee shop or wherever.
Have you seen my Porsche steering wheel?
Yeah.
What is this gas pedal here?
This is cool. So
it's got a hinge in it?
You can adjust this to line up perfectly with
the
brake pedal.
That's so awesome.
And
so,
you can kick those little extensions to the side so you can be the most efficient heel tower. Around.
That's so rad.
Because they never line up correctly without a pedal. They're often...
Yeah, because your brakes are, depending on what braking system you're using, it could change. So what we're looking at is a Renline pedal box, And the accelerator pedal, you know, in an air-cooled 911, the pedals are floor hinged. So the accelerator pedal has a hinge right in the middle of it. And I guess you can adjust the alignment of the top half.
You can adjust that in and out, and you can. There's three different holes where you can put that in. And then those red pads slide to the driver's side in case you want it to be really, really close to the brake pedal. So
that's great. So if you want to wear driving shoes or if you want to wear wider shoes, like you can really – that's a fucking –
or if you want to wear flip-flops and get one stuck, it's all the options are there.
Bro, Lee Keen, with his Safari build when I first drove it, he was like, let me show you how this thing works. We went on a single-track trail in North Carolina, and he was wearing flip-flops.
Flip-flops.
And just drifting the fuck out of this thing. And I was like, oh, I can't do that. But I and then you know what? I did. The flip-flops, but the slidey part. These rotiforms?
Yeah.
Rad wheels.
Great wheels.
Really nice wheel. It's fake center lock cap, though, isn't it?
That was the one disappointing thing about it, and they did not make a real one, so...
I mean,
per customer, so we had these off, and I tried to. I was like, you know what? We can just leave those off.
They look cool. Yeah, but the customer wanted.
Alas, they make a lot of different versions of those, so you can actually get them without that or with it.
It's a really cool looking wheel. Yeah. And I don't actually think most normal people want center locks. I think a lot of people think they do, but they really don't.
They think they do, but they don't.
But yeah, I got to call out a little bit of fakiness on there. But I'll tell you what,
it's totally fine.
Sick looking car though.
Yeah. So these are actually 356 headlights.
Wait, what? How does that work?
Well, on the 960 headlights. Well, in the 964, there's that big edge along the top, which just wasn't clean enough. So we made custom buckets, and then the 356 headlight glass fit right in.
That's so weird.
So they're lean. So they're tilted back.
Is it the same shape as the 964 headlight?
Yeah, around the outside.
So weird.
But so we just modified the bucket, set the bucket a little bit further back, completely changed the refab the bucket on the inside, and they were good to go. And nobody notices it, but it's my favorite part of the car.
Yeah, you know what I like about that? I like that is where I like when you got a custom car. I like when you can look at it and go, "What's different?" You know, and you don't immediately know. I love that. I like,
little subtle detail.
Chip Foose was good at doing that kind of stuff. Yeah. And a lot of the master builders, make some really subtle changes. Believe it or not, Magnus, and the people Magnus uses on his Porsches, you kind of go, oh, what's different here? What have they changed? And Magnus likes to do the rain gutter delete,
right,
which is apparently a huge pain in the ass.
Yeah, well, once you cut that off, you realize that the roof is almost not really attached to your car anymore. Yeah,
you have to weld it back up. Right?
Yeah, that's where the seam for it's pretty crazy.
That's so awesome. Yeah. That's a really beautiful build, though. I mean, that's excellent, and fully answered my question there. That is, yes, you absolutely do builds on things that are not American cars.
Yeah, we do.
Let's see what else you got here. I want to talk about some of your other fucking builds. Some of these things are fire.
Yeah, so this is all season one stuff.
Bel Air. Here's the truck.
This truck's cool.
So tell me the story. This truck is like a rat roddy truck with massive turbos on it.
Yeah, so this was like our original kind of, hey, we're just going to drive this as a shop vehicle.
Yeah.
And it turned into this crazy Frankenstein mobile.
It is crazy.
It's wacky.
The side dump exhaust.
Look at it. Shoots flames out the side.
Of course it does. The exhaust is about 18 inches long.
This is this is everybody's ideas in the shop thrown into one crazy vehicle.
Oh, wow. So I love this interior.
We custom it. We had these. We cut those out of billet. We used the old school vintage air underneath the dash, which is cool. So besides looking crazy.
Is it nice
and
to
making
drive?
A ton of horse, it's great to drive. I drive it all over the place.
Really?
People freak out.
It's of course they do. How rad is that?
So I was looking at
mounted radiator.
Yeah,
yes!
We got the rear. I was looking at trophy trucks, and we were having an issue.
Hell yeah.
Well, we needed a big intercooler, and we could not fit them both. So I was like, you know what? Let's just put that radiator in the rear.
Totally.
So one of the greatest things is when you do a monster burnout, the fans kick on if the motor gets nice warmed up, and it blows the smoke into the air.
Is so rad.
Of all stupid things. But these are the things we have to embrace in the car world. Like,
listen,
these are the little things.
Theatrics, my
theatrics
friend.
Theatrics are...
It's all about... Unless you're building a race car, you have to have theatrics. It's key.
So those were unintended, but... It really does a great job.
It looks blows this because the smoke comes right up in the middle here next to the pumpkin.
It just starts dumping through these holes, and yeah, it pretty much overtakes. It has a pretty wide rear. Let's see.
315s or something?
No, they're bigger. 335.
Wow. That's an awesome idea. This dude home built a Cyclone, GMC Cyclone, in a hill climb car, and he took his rear, the whole bed,
right,
and he turned the whole bed into a Venturi tunnel. And the tailgate itself was the radiator.
Oh,
and it just
awesome.
Venturied in the bed right into that radiator.
Well, there you go.
It was kick ass. And that's what this makes me think of.
Here's kind of in the early stages.
Did it come with a couch? Was
that's the seat. Yeah. The that's where you sit. Yeah. There's
that's
a couch.
That's really cool, man. You guys, that someone was in a creative mood with that one.
Yeah. Seems so like that everybody. About a year of work kind of on and off.
Yeah. Oh man! And then here you go. Here's a little bit of a almost an icon derelict. Oh no! Sign in with your TV provider.
Oh, here,
no,
click
denied.
Back. Denied.
Denied. No, no stairway. Oh man! And then, man, you guys do a lot of good stuff. What else? What are some of the things that you are waiting for the perfect customer to build? What's swirling around Noah's head that goes, man, if someone just shows up with a little bit of money, we're going to do this.
Well, we actually did one this year, and this is one of those cars that I don't know if it was just me that loved it a whole lot, but all the guys kind of latched on. But we did a Mini Cooper with a Honda swap and a Mini Cooper.
Oh, like a K20 or something?
It wasn't it was a, let's see, it's 180 horsepower.
Oh, so I think
B16.
That's, I think that's a 16.
Yeah.
Probably awesome though.
Oh, it was great. Originally,
engine in the front or the back?
We put it in the front.
Okay,
and it came with a complete cradle and for the new like a tubular steel cradle.
Yeah, people.
Cradle.
Someone makes a swap kit that's like not a super big deal, right?
Yeah. Minitech is awesome.
Is that what it's
anyway,
called?
Anyway, I was so pumped about this.
Is it called Minitech?
Minitech. Yeah, go to Minitech. Oh, look at these things.
Minitech. Let's check out Minitech. There's an if they're down in Orange County. There's a badass mini shop. What else?
These
what
guys are in like
applications.
Is this not the same Minitech?
Hang on a second. We'll find it.
Yeah, maybe it's not Minitech. Obviously.
Minitech.
Super fast minis. There we go. Right at the top.
Oh, super fast minis. Okay. Oh, it is. It's the other Minitech.
We went to aluminum extrusions.
Yeah, sorry.
Nobody.
Super these fast things are, minis. Super
these
fast
things are Mianas. Badass.
Cool.
So, yeah. Do you take a car? You know, ours was a 71 or a 72. Originally had 38 horsepower.
Uh-huh.
And it's got 180 now, which is...
Yeah,
so you have
this.
To run.
So here you go. Here's a Honda B series conversion.
Yep. You can do a B
engine cradle. $2,600.
$2,600. Good deal.
Nice.
And then you get your JDM motor. You can do a B. You can do a K. You can do an all wheel drive car.
Oh my God, all wheel. So I was at the Nürburgring in June, just for fun, just fucking around.
Yeah, it's a good place to fuck around. And
it's
have fun.
It's a really good place to fuck around and have fun. And so I'm at the Nürburgring and I had five laps. My first two laps were dry.
Right.
And then it got progressive.
In what kind of car?
I was in a rented. Renault Megane RS265. So roughly like a French a French Focus ST.
Okay.
Roughly. And it was fun. It was fine. But the last lap was pissing rain.
Right.
And it was the scariest drive I've ever had. It was the scariest 13 miles of my life. I was driving this Renault, which was on normal tires at 40, 50, maybe road speeds or less, and sliding all over the place. Well, I'm at the back half of the track. And I see in my rearview mirror by the way, at the Nürburgring, when it rains, no one goes out. They're all scared, right? All the tourists and all the locals, they just know, except this one dude who apparently lives on the track.
He
lives on the track, and he has an all-wheel drive K20 something fucking Mini that flew by me at a Senna. Like an Ayrton Senna speed with a monster rooster tail.
Oh, man.
And it stunned me so much.
Right.
And it had like this one in this video has here in this corner. The wheels all seemed a little oversized.
Right. You've got to go with otherwise there's no.
Yeah, you can't you can't make a 13 work.
No. No, you need an R compound.
Yeah, so look at this. This one required extras.
Yeah.
You need a 96-01 Honda CRV all-wheel drive manual 5-speed drivetrain.
Right. If you want to go all-wheel drive, they also make a rear engine kit as well. So if you want to put the motor in the trunk.
I've seen those.
Uh-huh. I don't know how it would drive.
Something tells me the front end is going to be all kind of fucked up.
I don't know how that would feel, and you'd have to make it rear drive.
Yeah, obviously.
But I don't know. I like that car as a front wheel drive car.
I think it makes sense as a front engine front drive.
And with 180 horsepower, I tell you what, it's plenty.
It's got to be terrifying.
It does.
It does weigh 1,400 pounds.
It's nutty. So it's hard to get it. You can get it to launch in a straight line sometimes, but it also. actually the term, you know, when the VTech kicked in,
yeah,
really applied to this one because
yo,
when
VTech
yo,
kicked in,
yo,
please, because so please use the proper pronunciation.
Because
sir.
Yo, when it does kick in, it'll actually. When it'll actually do a burnout every time the VTech
like at you know, speed.
Yeah, at speed. It was good. I was like, you know what? This is yeah. it. This is what they're talking about.
Yes. Here's a question for you, and you haven't necessarily done the build, but just
no,
as someone who knows things.
Sure.
If you take a CRV's all-wheel drive system,
right,
which is a fairly meh crossover.
Exactly.
With no performance capability whatsoever.
Yes.
And you then try and turn that into fundamentally a race car.
Right.
What happens?
I had the exact same question, which is why we just kept it a front-wheel drive car. But I have a customer now that has a mini Moke that we're trying to talk into
a
doing.
Moke?
I'm like, you know what? Because all the Moke stuff bolts right in.
Bro,
so
you'll twist like, that fucker you know like a pretzel.
I told him what he needed. Right. When all four wheels bite with your race tires in the CRV system.
Oh my god.
But the thing is, it's a teeny car.
Yeah.
With basically a stock.
Oh you know, my god.
You're not pushing any of that stuff.
That's true. A stock,
I don't know how CRV I don't know how that train. Stuff would perform. So
I just was
I want to find out.
When I find out,
I'll let you know.
Whenever people put an all wheel drive system like that, I always just wonder, like, is that thing meant for revs?
Is it?
You know what I mean?
Is that? Can you really? We can find out.
I mean, that the Mini on the Nürburgring, whatever it had in it, it was. I wouldn't be surprised if it was this exact setup.
A fully engineered crazy race car.
It was awesome.
The stuff is cool. They build nice components.
How fucking crazy! That looks rad. That's like a tubular, fucking subframe.
Little Wilwood brakes.
What is happening with this exhaust, though? This comes straight back.
That exhaust
and then
is going.
Side?
Yeah, that exhaust is going. I'm not sure about this. About the idea behind that because it's going right through, basically a structural member of the car and an important one at the very back. So the link between the front and the back of the car. But that being said, there's no once you're this is the only place where you could really put it. So
yeah.
I guess they said this is our option.
Or you just go straight out the hood like vertically. You know, the stack and a
fire. I did. So I found one after we'd built ours, and it had a giant turbo mounted on the front, and that was the exhaust ended there. So that was it. But it looked like that's the right idea.
Yeah.
I don't know how you could, you know, it definitely would not get traction. But
oh man,
it's all right.
Well, I like where your head's at on all this stuff, man. You seem to have it going on over here. I want
to
look in your projects tab and see what else.
Wait,
but I didn't. So other than the Mini, what else are you waiting for someone to show up with a little checkbook for you to play with?
I want to do a Hayabusa motor and a Bugeye Sprite.
Mm.
If someone would want to do that.
Yeah.
Because I think that would be equally terrifying.
Yeah.
And then I think I'll have the British cards out of my system for a while.
You know what I drove that was really, really good? And I bet I can find a picture of it here. Yeah.
Oh,
I drove.
We were just talking about this car
here it
today.
Is. Yeah, I can play this because it's my fucking video.
Show me your.
Oh, and it's my ad.
Coffee.
Yeah, here we go. Hang on.
Here we go.
So here is. Yeah, we won't get flagged on this because it's my video. This is a Honda N600 that is a Honda VFR 800 V4 in the front. It's rear drive. Look, these are paddle shifters.
Oh, yeah.
And it has a clutch. It has paddle shifters. It has the motorcycle gearbox. It weighs 1,200 pounds. Look at this. This is the V4. The fuel tank cover on the engine is just for display.
Yeah, right.
It's
good, though. I like it.
Yeah, the fuel tank's in the back. And it sounds... Hang on. I hope... I don't think I can actually get sound. Go watch this video at home, folks, because...
You look happy. It must sound good and drive.
It sounds like a Formula One car. It revs to 12,500 RPM and makes like 150 horsepower.
So who is this guy that built it?
The guy who built it, oh man, his name was Dean Williams. The owner is not the builder. The owner bought it from the builder. The builder's name is Dean Williams. He's a local guy here in L.A.
Right.
He's a fucking genius.
That thing is so
and
damn cool.
And this is one of maybe three cars I've ever tested where I offered the owner money for it on the spot.
I need to own it.
This guy has a standing offer of $20,000 for this car if he ever wants to sell it.
Hopefully, he calls you someday.
He may, and honestly, if he does, that's a super chat. If he does, I'll buy it and I'll find somewhere to stick it because it was so rad.
Yeah.
The only thing it was missing was reverse. have reverse.
Yeah. But you can always Flintstone it out the side door.
You can,
or you could Flintstone it out the bottom with a little custom hatch.
Yeah.
We can build one for you. Like a little attic door.
If it was mine, yeah. I would put a little electric motor on the rear axle or something.
Like a trolling motor.
Yeah, pretty much. And just hit a button.
That's a good idea.
That's kind of what I would do. But that's where I'd go with crazy bike engine into car. But I think a Sprite with a Busa motor for sure.
Yeah, it would require a lot of crazy work to make it
safe.
Do
you think so?
If you've ever worked on one of those things, they have the dinkiest little components that look like they would be ripped clean off that car if you did.
I'm not the least bit fucking surprised.
Oh, boy. So I don't know.
I don't think those things
getting someone to spend the money to build that car safely and the right way would be...
Yeah.
There's someone out there, if you're listening.
It's like a $70,000.
Yeah. Could be more. I don't know. You never...
Could be more. Bike engines in cars... are a really good idea.
The
one downside, other than the reverse, the one downside of the N600 was you had to dump the clutch from like $4,000.
Right.
The motor didn't really have a lot of torque.
Right.
So it was a little tricky.
So you just do your race car pit launch?
Pretty much, yeah.
You know, do you like go-karts?
Yes.
Like as a child?
Yeah.
Like go-karts, Honda mini bikes, like any of that. So we just built a go-kart. It was... The company's called Margay. They're in St. Louis, and they've been building. They own like a steel company and like to race go karts. This is back in the '60s, so they've been building go karts since the '60s.
That's awesome.
And we built recently with them a twin engine, like old school 1960s style. They had them sitting in their showroom. Like, we need to build that. Yeah. What are we doing?
Yeah.
And Keith, the owner, said, "Okay, you idiot, let's do it."
Yeah.
So it's twin 175cc two strokes.
Cool.
And it is like the hand of God pushing you down the road. It's terrifying.
I drove it wasn't a 175, but I drove a twin engine cart that had two of like the Sodi engines in them. Like they're like higher end rental cart engines, maybe like 9 horsepower.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was fast.
Right.
But it was fucking undrivable.
Undrivable?
It'd snap, oversteer. Plow, snap, oversteer. It was like almost undrivable.
Right.
But it was good for a laugh for 20 minutes.
This thing actually retained most of its, you know, it only weighs 165 pounds. Mm-hmm. So it's not like a rental go-kart, which weigh about 300.
Yeah.
And it has 86 horsepower and revs to, well, both engines, 86 horsepower. It's perfect. I'm like, I weigh about 165 pounds. But if you don't have it straight, when it gets into the power band, you're gonna fucking die.
Yeah.
So it was built with disc brakes,
front and rear. Yeah.
Front and rear.
Yeah.
But it accelerates so hard when it gets in the motors get in the power band, it accelerates so hard that you float out of the seat, and then the brakes work so well that you float
into the
other way. So it was hard to, you know, normally when you drive the regular go karts, like the rental carts with the, you know, touch and go,
that's
you
great.
Can kind of float them into the corner, hit the brake a little bit. This thing was like, I feel like I'm
braking a straight line.
Turn
it makes in you, carefully.
I realized that I was still a shitty driver. And,
that's
you
funny.
Know.
Yeah, no, a really fast cart, you're going to find out if you're a good driver or not.
Yeah.
The shifter carts, like I've driven a couple of really fast shifter carts, and they're a challenge.
You have to be not many people can drive shifter carts well.
You have to be very committed.
You have to be very committed.
I forget, my friend Zach is going to a shifter cart school in the next couple months that I think would be really, really
that
fun.
That would be incredible.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
Go-karting is the best.
I wish there
was anywhere around here that was reasonably close to do it.
I look when I travel for go-kart places. Mm. And then I go to the go-kart places.
Where,
they could be like,
where have you found like a super awesome one?
Okay, I'll tell you where the best go-kart track in the country is.
Okay.
And it's not they're not the best go-karts, but in Louisville, Kentucky, there is a 2.5 mile long go-kart track.
Fuck. What's it called?
I don't know. Look it up. Louisville go kart.
Let's see what we got
where
here.
Where is it?
Bluegrass karting, Renaissance Fun Park, Malibu Jacks. No. Go kart country.
Go kart country.
Go kart
kart country.
Kart country with a K.
You know, if they spelled country with a K, it's got to be good because anything with a K instead of
Explore.
A C is.
So attractions rates.
This place you can run wild.
Attractions, go karts.
They don't.
Holy shit! Look at this track.
I think you get
one. Are you kidding me?
Okay, it's 1.5 miles long. Look at the track.
Wow.
They're like
that is a crazy track.
The tracks are the karts are pretty fast, but like slightly shitty.
Yeah.
And you can we ran it in the rain.
God, like, that track.
The track is awesome.
The world's longest go-kart track.
I don't think they're lying.
Thunder Road. 1.5 miles.
So they're not the best carts.
That track is crazy.
That is the most fun track you can attend.
For those of you not on the video, this track has 20 corners in it, maybe. Like, right? It's just nuts. It's so big.
It's crazy.
Would this thing be wide enough to run like an autocross in a car?
Barely. Pretty much? Barely.
Yeah.
You could do motorcycles on it, but it would be better if it was like a Grom or something.
Right,
you
right.
Know?
Well, there's a place I like to go where, do you know Adams Motorsports Park? They're in Riverside.
No.
And if you're ever out in California, out in East LA. Let's see if we can get the track up. Where's the track map? About? I just want to get. So they do.
Can you do like an arrive and drive there?
Yeah, yeah. So they have arrive and drive, and they have carts, but right. Then they also do autocross there on Tuesday nights. They actually do drifting there, wow. Which is really fun. It's like
is it barely wide? So it's barely wide enough for a car.
It's wide enough for one car.
One car.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's wide enough for one car. I think it's like 0.4 mile, maybe.
Okay.
It's pretty fun. And the karting there is fun, and they run supermotos there, like little supermotos and Groms and stuff like that. I can't play the video, folks. I'm sorry. But Adams is good fun. I like them a lot. Get on the Super Chat, folks. We're going to go to some Super Chat questions in just about 5 minutes. If you want to ask Noah anything, you want to ask me anything, then you're with us live. Now is the time. What, Noah, stands out to you as being the most difficult engineering challenge that your team has had to solve?
Oh, let's see. Oh, we've had a lot of them. I'm trying to think of something good and not lame.
it's okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the thing we... Hold on, let's...
How about this? What's something in the meantime... Well, look at that. What is that? Look at that.
Here's a good. We just built a 65,
a 31 Ford. That's a sexy little. I don't even think I can call that a rat rod.
That thing's
not a rat rod.
That thing is totally crazy.
That's awesome.
We started off with a nice body,
really,
and yeah, basically everything's custom built. Like I said, all constant engineering challenges. It's kind of the nature of the beast. But we just put an independent, a full chassis with an independent rear suspension under the 65 Cadillac.
Oh, wow.
Which
I bet
meant
that
we basically
great.
Oh, it is beautiful. Awesome. And it's cool. It's the ultimate cruiser. It sits hammered down on the ground, but we basically had to, well, only top half of the car is there, because to make that chassis work, we had to kind of remove all of the
entire floor.
Yeah,
man.
We body dropped it over this chassis, which was quite challenging and a little frightening.
Is that like a roadster shop chassis as well?
It actually is a MRC Fab. He's in North Carolina. So very cool chassis.
I didn't realize anyone makes chassis for Eldorados. That's
We sent him a chassis and he built us a chassis. So we sent him the original frame, which was a damaged piece of junk and had a lot of rust and some weird patches in it. And he built us a new one.
So he builds that and he builds a buck out of the stock one and then he builds a new one on the buck.
You got it.
More or less. Wow, I bet with an independent rear that just drives.
It's cool.
So
it's got a.
Nice.
It has a new LS3 in it, but we made it look like an old Cadillac motor.
Oh,
so
that's cool.
You know, everybody's kind of sick of seeing all
that. That's great. I have a Fox Body Mustang,
right?
And we put an IRS in the back of it.
Yeah,
and it drives absolutely incredible.
Notchback.
It's a notchback. Yeah, it's 88 notchback, and it's got a tubular K member front. It's got IRS in the rear.
Sweet.
Maximum Motorsports. It's all Maximum Motorsports.
And you know what? When you want more horsepower, one of those.
Easy.
It comes cheap.
I'm at the end of
the
old school 302. I'm at the end of that.
Right.
So it's at this point, I'm actually, I can plug it. I'm going to do a giveaway. I'm giving the car away. I'm raffling it off.
Oh, cool.
In the month of November. So I don't have any details on how to sign up yet, but I'm going to be raffling off the Mustang. Because I got to this point right now where the chassis done, the interior's done. It's a beautiful car.
Sure.
But it's not that fast. It's about a 350 horsepower old school 302 crate motor.
Sure.
I'm at the point where it's either, you know, I sell it and move on, or
you go crazy.
I got to spend 15 grand to do a Coyote swap or a something or other. I was looking at Voodoo engines out of the Shelbys.
Yeah.
People are crashing them now. So you can get a Voodoo engine, trans and a rear end for like 15 grand.
It's a wonderful value.
I think it is. I think if I was going to continue with the car, it would be a good value. Yeah.
Right.
Can I show you something really cool? Because I want to show the audience something real cool too.
Yeah, please show me.
So I'm building a collector car storage facility here in right around the corner from here, from where our studio is here. and I got the rendering, the 3D rendering. We're, right, we're just into construction here, so check me out. This is I'm going to show this for the first time in full on YouTube, although I put it on Instagram before. So
is there music?
No, it's just me narrating.
You want me to sing?
So we're on Sentinella Avenue, right around the corner from here, at the east entrance of Playa Vista. And here's the front entrance to our building, which is a 13,800 square foot warehouse. It's got it's going to have storage for 150 cars. Ooh. And we are doing that.
How is that? How do you fit all those cars?
I will show you. We are stacking. I have 18 quad stackers.
Really?
By Park Plus.
You can see this. I've looked at their stuff.
Yeah, they're dope. They're the dopest. So you see this big metal F I'm putting on the front for
that BMW almost just hit that Porsche.
I know. Those guys are all driving like complete assholes. On the right side of the screen, behind where these trees are, is not shown, but that is the Clippers practice facility. I'm directly across the street from it. Also across the street from YouTube. So here's the main front entrance. You see this lovely 458 pulling in. And the roll-up door into the main building. What you can't see is there's a matching opposite roll-up door, so a trailer can drive straight through and out the back. Here are your 18 quad stackers. And then because it's a valet building, we can also park cars on the main floor in the drive aisles. So ideally, people will rent four spaces and have their own stacker.
Right.
But I have all different spaces at different price points. This is a main entryway. And then as we go up the stairs to the second floor mezzanine, we're going to go into the members lounge, which is pretty much just kind of a chilling area. I'm going to have like whiskey lockers, big humidor, nice home theater, the racing simulator. And then we have, so here's that. The furniture and decor is not exactly what it'll be. And then you have a porch on the rooftop deck. For chilling and having a cigar. And then you can see from the members lounge out into toy box. That window pane that we're looking through right there is $30,000 because it's 5,000 degree fire glass.
Wow.
Required by law.
Required by California.
So underground, I have 44 drive-in, drive-out spaces.
Really?
Tandem.
Oh, that's cool.
And I have designed...
You have to buy both.
You can either buy both or you can just buy the back if you don't want us to move your car. Mm-hmm. Or if you just buy the front, you have to be okay with us shuffling your car out of the way once in a while. But under here is a 44 spots, drive in, drive out. And the ramp to get down here, I specifically designed so that you could drive a C6 Corvette ZR1, which was the lowest car I could find without nose lift, straight down from the street. No funky.
There
angles.
You go.
Pretty cool, huh?
It's also say I want to store my car collection.
Yes.
What do I? And I have four cars, and I want to buy a.
You want to get a stack?
I think I want to get a stack. What is it? Monthly? Is it?
So it's yearly.
Okay.
It's yearly, and the introductory rate is for 2 years.
2 years.
So I'm offering an introductory rate if you take a spot or a stack for 2 years.
All right, sell me on it.
You want a stack?
Yeah. I want a
so
stack.
We are. The only collector car storage facility in West LA, period. We have the only indoor four-high stacking system in Los Angeles, and we have the first four-high stacker over subterranean globally. I have a 3,000-gallon per minute fire system with 160 nozzles, one nozzle per car. There's a nozzle on every car. There's a battery tender on every car.
Sweet.
There are spots that I will never have to touch your car. No one in my staff will have to touch your car. There's other spots that are more affordable where we may have to shuffle your car around once in a while.
Sure.
And let's see. You could drive a 48-foot trailer straight through the middle of the building.
Oh, really?
And unload build. You could unload a car inside. No one will ever see it outside. Sure. We got, let's see, a crazy security system, 60 cameras, remotely viewable by members. The lounge, and I'm building a brand new podcast studio up there. It's not shown in the rendering. It's at the top of the stairs on the left. And that's the thing. That's the building.
Well, very cool.
Yeah. So Matt at thesmokingtire.com if you are in LA and you want parking, you want to get in on it.
And you know what? I bet it's a lot easier to rent a four stacker from you than it is to build a private garage in LA, which I bet is impossible.
Bro, I've been on this project for 4 years.
Right.
So it's just anyone who thinks it'll be too expensive or anything like that, I welcome you trying.
Go ahead. It's not. Yeah. It's going
Right now we have a they're doing rebar in the foundation. So
right.
We're going to be pouring concrete and doing rebar the next 5 weeks, and we're going to be open September 19th.
So you've got the foundation kind of dug at the moment, or where
the foundation's dug out,
right?
And they have this membrane they put down,
right?
For methane and waterproofing.
Sure.
Methane is a big problem in this area. Thank you, fucking Howard Hughes. And the property is the former administration building for Hughes Aircraft.
Okay,
yeah,
and so it's still an issue.
Howard Hughes fucking destroyed the ground here. Destroyed it. They dumped so many chemicals in this area that it has created a massive plume of vinyl chloride and methane underneath this entire area.
So you need a gas barrier.
Yes. And it is not cheap for considering that it's basically a tarp.
Right.
Then you put your foundation inside that.
Expensive
tarp.
It's
a really expensive tarp. Anyway, let's go to some of our super chat questions from our fans. Let's see. WordDot wants a third car complement to a sedan daily driver, Volvo S90, and a Morgan three-wheeler. Wow. All right. There you go. Usually the Morgan three-wheeler is the fourth car.
I know.
If you have a Morgan three-wheeler as a second car, you're actually brave.
You're doing what? Do you need another car?
I don't know. I guess so. Maybe he wants a sports car with a roof.
I guess so. Yeah. Right.
And he's wondering, should he get an air-cooled 911 or an NSX? Experience over performance. What do you recommend in the $40,000 to $50,000 range of used sports cars?
I love the air-cooled 911s.
I do too.
40 to 50 grand, you could get a 993, maybe a little bit higher mileage.
Driver quality 993.
But something, as we talked about earlier, you can get out and enjoy.
Yeah.
And even if it's too nice when you buy, you put a little scratch on the door as a proven method for vehicle enjoyment. Yeah.
A
964 or 993, and you could, you know.
Or even a late 80s, like a late 87 80s, with a 911. G50 gearbox.
Get
good.
Right? A G50 would be, what, 87 through 89?
Yes.
You get the G50. Perfect.
That's where I would go with that. The NSX also, if you're into an NSX, they're lovely. I mean,
I do love the NSX.
Have you had much seat time in them?
I've had a little seat time in the NSX, and one of the best things about the NSX is actually the view out the front.
Yes.
And the high,
exotic view out
the
front.
It's incredible. Yeah. So,
and they work, they tend to work properly.
They do. And, you know, the NSX is going to be reliable, and so is the Porsche, as long as it's not going to be a mechanical nightmare for you. So, as long as it's up to date and it's been serviced properly, you can put few hundred thousand miles on those motors.
I think the NSX is a really nice car to drive every day, but I think you should get the one with power steering. I don't like the no power steering early cars. I like a 94 and up because you get power steering and you get the 6-speed. That's what I'm into.
Are you going with the NSX or the 911?
No, I would still get a 911.
I just think the 911 has so much to offer.
It's got more of a sensory experience.
It does.
Fizzy.
It's hard to find that. Even in their modern cars, they still offer a little bit of that.
Yeah. All right. Blunder Crush says, what is the most comfortable SUV that you've driven that might be under $25,000, can be used?
I like the BMW.
X5?
They're cool.
They're comfortable.
They
are comfortable.
Maybe they're a little, I don't know. They have a little bit of a sporty ride, as do a lot of BMWs, but that would be my choice.
Yeah, he says not a Range Rover or Porsche. Range Rovers typically are the most comfortable SUVs I've driven. I would look at a Lexus LX, the 570, the Lexus version of the Land Cruiser.
Yeah, that's probably a better choice.
If
you're looking for
Land
comfort.
Cruiser. Yeah, or an actual Toyota Land Cruiser. Land Cruisers and the Lexus versions of them are badass.
Very nice.
You might even be able to get a current generation Grand Cherokee for under 25. Actually,
probably
and a V6 from 2014 or 15, you probably could. Maybe have a look at one of those too.
As long as they don't hold their value like the Wrangler, you're probably
they don't. The Wrangler Wranglers are an anomaly.
They're
Wranglers and Outbacks,
right?
are an anomaly. thank you, Paul, for the donation. Thoughts on the last gen Alpina B7? That's the big tunified BMW sedan.
Right.
You ever have a go in one?
I have never driven one.
I drove one once. I wasn't super blown away by it. If we were talking about Uber sedans, I prefer the Audi S8.
The Audi S8's very cool. I've never driven a Alpina B7, and I always often wonder, will it give me what I'm paying for?
I've heard no.
No.
I love the wheels. Those 21 spoke wheels are rad.
Not a lot of street cred either. From the right person, yes, but most people just don't really know what that is.
It's a nerdy dude magnet.
The new Audis, though,
yeah,
are hot.
I'm a big fan of the S8. The S8 is super rad. The last one with the V10 and the new one with the twin turbo motor. The new one with the twin turbo motor is a missile.
Gets up, they get up and go.
That thing is fast. That They're Audi nutty. 4 liter, it rocks. It's a good motor.
They're building good stuff right now.
Yeah. So I haven't given much thought to the last gen Alpina B7, but if you want to go Alpina, 80s Alpina is what's up with the crazy stripes and the like if we pull up, let's see, 1989 Alpina BMW, just picking a year. And you want to see, like,
there we go.
Yeah, where's one with good graphics? Oh man,
look at the graphics.
Yeah, this is the one, right?
This is right.
Look at, see, this is when you see them on Bring a Trailer and shit. And they have all these crazy stripes on them.
I don't think those are the right wheels. Those are not the era correct wheels. But
well, those are off like an E46 330 CI, I think, right?
Or maybe is that an SUV wheel? Is that an X5 wheel? It's something. X5. It's the wrong wheel.
It is.
Because they did not have anything that big.
Period correct stripes. That looks great.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and here's one with a little color in it. Yeah,
these aren't tacky. I would like, you know, the tack.
Fucking
or the
rad. Oh,
come on, give me something horrible.
Oh, like the stuff out of Japan, the JDM version of the Alpina cars is nuts. I mean, there's got a little yellow going on here. Not many with add the word stripe to that Google search. And yeah, here's your shark nose and your fun Alpina. Right. Oh, here's the one. Look at that.
See,
dude.
We got a winner.
Image, and this is the winner. That's, oh my God, I want that so badly. And look at the one in the background.
They go for, oh, this place is quite the select. Where are these guys?
This is a period dealer.
These guys are in Europe somewhere. Awesome. These guys have all the cool old BMWs.
Oh, that shit is dope, man. I was about that. That's great. Good for Alpina. Yeah. So I say if you're going to get an Alpina, get the old one.
You got to go in the 80s.
Dante says, as a family man, I might have to delay buying a fun car until 2040. Well, congratulations on your children, sir. For fun,
babies everywhere.
What would be the bought, not built version of today's Tommy Bahama shirt and new vet combo in 20 years? Oh, okay. So, like, in 2040, what will be the old man sports car that is not used as a sports car?
2040.
Oh my God! I mean, I think it'll still be the vet, and it'll still be the Hawaiian shirt.
Oh man, the Hawaiian shirt that says Corvette all over it.
You can really pick out a Corvette.
I do like a mean Corvette driver with a nice Corvette tracksuit as well.
Oh, the full on like Guido suit?
Yeah.
I think I was just having
matching his and her full on Guido suits and the it happens, folks.
I was just having a conversation with Doug DeMuro. You know him?
Yeah.
He makes videos. He just bought a Ford GT, so congrats to Doug.
Congrats,
he bought
it
from Carl Brower, who is another friend, which I like seeing friends sell other friends' cars. But I was talking to him about like what I want to buy next, and one of the things I was looking at is a 6-speed Mercy Lambo.
Yeah.
Because I just feel they're undervalued right now, and they're actually quite nice to drive. Yep. And he was like, you don't have the outfit for that. I can buy Gucci flip flops.
You have good chest hair, like you can.
I do.
You're halfway there.
I do, but I'd have to shave a chin strap and get Gucci flip flops.
Yeah, I mean you can self produce whatever you know most of that outfit. Yeah.
Totally. Justin says. Hang on. Justin wrote another question somewhere. I have to find it. Man. I'm sorry, Justin. I can't find. I don't know what Justin's looking for.
There's Matt.
I don't know. I'm sorry, Justin. I can't. Oh, here we go. Here it is. All right. I've been wondering if I should sell the R32. I wonder if I could get. Oof. Okay. So this guy, Justin, is up in San Francisco. I bought a mint Skyline R32.
Right.
Stock. Really nice car. I then sold it to Justin.
Sure.
For what seemed 2 years ago to be an extraordinary price. And now is market price.
Sure.
And he's wondering if he should sell it. He's into it for under 40, including storage, maintenance, everything. Wonder if I could get 60K for it yet. My gut tells me the car is still more like a $40,000 value. I actually agree with Justin on this one. I think you can't get 60 for that car just yet. If
not
it was
yet.
A Nismo or the mileage was super low.
Right.
But for I know this car really well, and for very clean, very nice, very stock, good driver miles, but not too many. I think it was 40,000 miles or something.
That's still low.
It's very low.
But that's lower than I usually see on this.
Yeah, it is. It was a really good car, but I don't think it's 60,000. I would hold, Justin, if you've got room. I got hold. And then finally, Wu-Tech. Wu-Tech says, Wu-Tech. Should I buy a C4 Corvette ZR1 for investment? Something to enjoy driving for a few years and then sell again?
No.
Short answer, no.
I don't think that's a great investment.
No, I think unless you're talking about something from the late 60s, the best Corvette is always the fastest, newest one you can afford.
It's true.
And they depreciate.
Yes.
They continue to depreciate.
They do.
Yeah, they don't come back unless they're the ones from the 60s.
The C4 ZR1 has been about the same price
for a long time.
And it may bump up and down as, you know, those markets for those cars. You'll see little micro spikes here and there, but it's just, not happening.
I agree. Every time I drive a C4, and I've driven more than I really want to admit, I'm surprised at how good the steering is.
Right.
I'm surprised at how good the ride is, and I'm surprised at how comfortable the seats are. Those are the things that stand out to me, but they really feel like they're put together like garbage. Like they rattle, and they, if you go over a pothole, it's just like throwing a bucket of nails down the stairs.
You got to make sure all the body panels are still attached.
Yeah.
You know what, though? You're not going to lose money on it.
Probably not.
But so if you ignore the cost for your insurance, taxes, and any maintenance,
you could probably drive it for cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could probably drive it for cheap.
Go for it.
The funniest
if you like
C4,
it.
You ever drive a Callaway C4?
No.
Dude, I drove one.
A fright pig?
Hilarious.
Hilarious?
It was hilarious. It made 475 horsepower.
Right.
At 5,200 RPM, and the red line was 5,800 RPM. It was like a diesel.
Right.
It made like 600 pounds of torque. It was the dumbest thing in the world, but it was hilarious in its own way.
And does it have an exotic-looking body kit on it?
No, it was not a sledgehammer one. It looked completely stock, except
right.
I think the front bumper and the hood might have been a little different.
Sure.
It was an 87. It wasn't a 90s car. But it was hilarious, but I didn't want it.
I know. Hilarious for a little bit.
Before we wrap this up, brother, what do you want to plug anything else? I mean, the TV show Speed is the New Black.
Yep, Speed is the New Black. You can watch it.
Where can the folks get it?
So you can watch it. We just the second season just finished airing on Velocity, which will shortly be called Motor Trend.
Yeah. So
and
how do you get affected by this discoverization of all Motor Trend?
No, not really. I think everybody
discoverization of Discovery or discoverization of Motor Trend.
Based on. I would say it's discoverization of Motor Trend.
I'm sorry, it's so confusing.
That's a real word, too.
Discoverization?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think it's a good thing because there's a lot of good car content that both of those media companies have, and now it's all together.
Yeah.
So, you know, one way it's great, you can see us on Velocity, and you can also watch us on Motor Trend on demand.
On demand, and apparently
on demand, whenever you want, at any time, on your phone.
Apparently on the website as well, right? On your website?
Yeah, there's our 86 Silverado shop truck.
Velocity.com. I can't play it. I'll get copyright violated if I play on this show.
Oh, you're right. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I can only play my own YouTube videos because we're streaming on YouTube.
I'd hate to see that happen to you. So
that's
just
the thing.
Don't click.
Oh, one more Super Chat question before we get out of here. Matt, and then I'm going to call the game on Super Chats. I'm still hunting for an automatic CTSV wagon, but prices are insane. Is paying 50K for a great example a money loser in 3 years?
You know what? Wagons always pull crazy money in the aftermarket, and nobody wants to buy them when they're new.
Yeah.
But as soon as they're a used wagon, a BMW
or
that CTSV, very desirable.
They're
funny in that regard.
I agree. I think that I don't think it will appreciate if you are driving it, but I think it's a safe place to park some money. A fast wagon. I just read we work with Hagerty, and they have a monthly newsletter, and they have a buy, sell, hold section. And last month, hold your fast wagons was last month.
The fast wagons are in right now.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be hard to go wrong with a especially a nice condition CTSV wagon.
Yeah. Have you seen, have you driven the new AMG, the E63?
I would like to.
It's fucking rowdy. It's so rowdy.
Oh,
it's so good.
How many of those do they sell in the U.S. every year?
Not that many. There's a, my girl has a, works up in Silicon Valley, and there's a dealer up there called Autobahn that stocks them. It's got a dozen AMG wagons at all times.
I can see there's probably a few pockets in the U.S. Totally. Where those things sell
like
very well.
Like hotcakes, folks. Yeah. Thank you, Eddie, for your question. I think you should go for it. If you can find... Fuck, get a manual if you can. That's going to be the real hold.
The manuals are always the better bets.
You never know. This dude might have one leg or something. Sometimes you give people crap for not having the manual.
I try not to. Yeah, we don't want to offend anybody.
No, we don't. But thank you for your questions. Dude, Nate, this was great, man. Or Noah, Jesus. Oh, Nate, I had a Nate last week. Sorry. Noah Alexander from Classic Car Studio. Follow him on Instagram, classic_car_studio on Instagram and Classic Car Studio on Facebook and on Velocity and Motor Trend On Demand.
All the other you can find us easily.
Thanks for coming in. No, I appreciate.
Thanks for having
us. And I would like to try to drive something at some point. Can we make this happen?
I have something in the local area that I think you'll like.
Oh, yeah. Can I coordinate with Corey Burns?
You can do smoke. I give you permission.
Ari Gold of automotive media. Corey Burns.
Corey Burns. I give you permission to drive it like a. Just go crazy.
Rad. Thank you very much, dude. Yeah. The Smoking Tire Podcast is powered by Shout Engine. Get your own damn podcast at shoutengine.com. It's easy. All you need is something to capture your voice, a connection to the internet, and hopefully something to say. Matt Farah here. Thank you very much, Noah.
Thanks,
Matt. Safe travels. I'll see you guys later. Goodbye.